On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Earlier in the programme, if you were listening, I was joined by the Minister of State for Local Government and Planning, John Cummins, to discuss the government's new housing plan, which was launched today. Well, joining me now to discuss this further is Eoin Oibrin, Sinn Féin housing spokesperson, Conor Skehan, former chair of the Housing Agency and DIT lecturer in planning, and Cillian Woods, senior business reporter with the Business Post. You're all very welcome to the programme, and I don't think anybody here needs to tell the audience that's listening to The Hard Shoulder right now how important this housing plan is, as I suppose many of the others were, in terms of turning around people's prospects of living in a secure, affordable home in this country. Cillian, to come to you first, does this plan, do you think, represent a genuine shift in policy? Is this the breakthrough plan, if it's implemented, that we've all been waiting for?
I think, as I say at the outset, and it's not, say, a criticism of the plan or the minister himself, it's just this was kind of doomed to kind of fall flat from the beginning. They in a way that they've been announcing much of what's in the plan is what we knew the government's working on already, what they've announced already, whether it was in the budget or changes to get our apartment guidelines earlier in the year. So we've known this plan is coming since January. Obviously, they were going to do an update to Housing for All because they wanted to do the new housing target of 300,000 new homes by the end of 2030. They wanted to put that into a new plan, promised in July, then after the dull recess in September, then September was a few weeks later, and then we have it in November. So, like, it's not necessarily a pivotal change. I mean, there's maybe a different emphasis on certain things in this plan compared to Housing for All. And I'm still getting scratchy. It's that there's homelessness is a key, going big on homelessness and mentioning lots of homelessness and how they're going to address homelessness through many different maybe actions, whether anything concrete measures. Then infrastructure is another big thing where they want to unlock infrastructure, big infrastructure projects that are either delayed through legal challenges or just can't get on site, or housing developments can't get on site due to a lack of infrastructure. So there's a good bit of mention of that. Although when they do reference infrastructure, they point towards the Accelerating Infrastructure Task Force, which is, again, some of this report, what it does a lot is point at other plans that are going to happen or point at reviews that will happen as opposed to anything concrete that's been done or has been done that's going to impact now. And they talk about unprecedented levels of investment. I personally think that's something they should probably avoid talking about, because it has to be unprecedented levels, because price housing has gone so high, you have to invest that level to get any return. So not necessarily a change in housing policy or anything different, just more of what we knew, but in a kind of a one document.
And did you say a lack of clarity, actually, really, given the fact that so much of it has been sent out, did you say, to task forces who still have to report back on what their plans are?
Exactly, yeah. And maybe this is a useful document and it should just be presented as that, like, this is just a bit of a Bible of everything they're planning to do. But, like, even some of the, like, there's two pillars to the plan, and then there's eight priorities within those pillars, and then 102 action points that are going to be done to try and fulfill all of that. And some of the action points are quite broad and stuff we knew already. It's invest billions of euro. It's address the cost of building. It's make homes more affordable. Some of them are very, very, very broad. Some of them are more specific. Say we're going to launch specific reviews on aspects of the housing sector to try and get to grips with understanding the data. So not necessarily anything very groundbreakingly new in this, although the government are bigging up that money into the LDA is new, although we knew about that already. A new 400 million fund for the Ireland Strategic Investment Fund has been renewed. We knew that already. Fund for overshop conversions, we essentially knew that already. And this 100 million fund that they were big on the Sunday Times the weekend is that's kind of, there's been a form of that already out there to address, you know, to try and get homes for people who are facing homelessness or in emergency accommodation. So it's packaging it up to try and have something to announce for the big housing launch, even though they've already announced rent control reform earlier in the year. They've announced apartment guideline changes already, and they've announced the VAT cut for developers, which is their main things Brown is coming to do.
Okay, let me bring you in, Conor Skehan. You've often warned against sort of treating housing against this, against being sort of a purely sort of state-led crisis that needs just a pure state-led response. Does this plan, do you think, strike the right balance then between market forces that are out there and state intervention?
Generally, no. It's a trend towards even more interventionism, even more centralisation, new agency, upgrading 7 existing agencies or structures, a bunch of new procedures. So they're all treating housing as if it's something built by the state, for the state. And it's a trend that's evident in Ireland for probably the last 10 years, this increased centralisation and over interventionism. So in that sense, it's a slight creep in the wrong direction. That said, it's saying a lot of the right things. I was particularly struck today hearing the Taoiseach talking about the fact that we're going to try and back off having numbers, back off having targets. That's a lot of where the illness comes from, is this mania about trying to put numbers on everything. Housing isn't like that. It's much more complex than that. And you just walk straight into a trap every time you put a number on something in housing. It's too complex for that.
Okay, they've said it's a distraction and it ends up becoming a political football, but they have come in for a lot of criticism on that today, because how else do you measure whether or not your plan is working?
And what fun would it be in a studio like this if you didn't have numbers to kick around?
But I mean, if any of us sort of set out a plan, this is what I'm trying to get to. No, you generally have to have a target, do you not?
No, you have a direction of travel. Housing is about a direction of travel, and it's classically defined as a wicked problem. One of the big problems with wicked problems is that people make promises to solve something that's unsolvable. So what you do instead is you try to promise to fail less badly, to manage a little better, and certainly measure increments towards that. But for the sort of 27-year-olds listening to this today, that's not much comfort. We're not making progress on the right directions. And the problem is that this overly centralised approach that still continues to be led by building targets and charters for builders is ignoring the really big issue, which is about managing housing. Housing is mainly something that's managed. We've 2 million homes already in this country, and yet we have the highest level of underutilised rooms in Europe. We're twice as high as the rest of Europe. Imagine if we just dealt with 10% of that, how much housing we'd free up.
OK, let me bring in Owen here. There's too much sort of interventionalism. The state playing too big a role is what Conor's saying in housing.
Well, today should have been a day, I think, of hope for all those people who are unable to put an affordable roof over their heads. I think there was a desire to see something different. The government's own housing commission 2 years ago recommended what they called a radical reset of housing policy. And unfortunately, I think that hope is dashed for one very simple reason. There is not a single new proposition in this over 100-page proposal. The overall target was announced last October, and it's 20% below what the Housing Commission objectively assessed as the need for new homes in the state. The social and affordable housing targets aren't going to increase. There's going to be no extra funding above the existing targets from Darragh O'Brien's plan of the last government. Conor's absolutely right about the scandalous levels of vacancy and dereliction and the lack of options for people who want to right size for their own needs to be able to do that. Again, nothing new or additional here. And on homelessness, I mean, the government is claiming that they put in place a new fund to reduce the levels of homelessness. That is simply not true. That scheme has been in place since 2020. It was put there by Owen Murphy. Previously, it had a targeted number of acquisitions, vacant homes for people who are trapped in emergency accommodation long term. They're just changing it to amount of money, but it's broadly the same. And then the only thing that they're sticking to their promises is the changes that are going to affect tens of thousands of renters. The legislation is in draft form, and it's going to fundamentally end an albeit imperfect and meagre protection for renters in the form of the rent pressure zone. And as you know, I'm a strong critic of the revised design standards for apartments. the VAT cut, €750 million for apartments that are already being built, already have buyers. So there's nothing new in here.
But is there nothing new, or sorry, is there not something new for the vacant houses in terms of the grant that's going to be made available for those vacant houses? That's been increased.
And you see, that's kind of interesting. So there are two schemes, Croí Chonaí Towns, Croí Chonaí Cities. Croí Chonaí Towns is the vacant property refurbishment grant. Nothing wrong with it other than it's paid in arrears. So if you don't already have the money, you won't be able to draw down the grant, which is why only a third of those who've been approved for it have done so. They also have Croí Chonaí Cities, which is a grant for apartment builders in towns and cities. They seem to be kind of creating a hybrid version of those two, this €140,000 for refurbishments of over the shop to turn them into residential.
But there's so that is new.
Well, interestingly, there's no additional money for it, right? So what it seems to be, and again, it's unclear, is it's going to come from the existing two pots. It's creating a third option. But again, and I suppose this is the one area where I disagree with Conor. Conor is right. The obsession with numbers is a problem because ultimately housing is about people and places and how we deliver that. But if you want to fix a problem, you have to know how big the problem is and you do have to have some metrics. And the only reason...
So do you think there should be targets then in this report?
Let's be very clear. The only reason why they've got rid of annualised targets is because they know they can't meet the social and affordable rental and affordable purchase targets that they have set for themselves. And they just want to avoid the embarrassment. So there is a target. It's a target over 6 years, but they're not setting out those annualised ones. That I do think we shouldn't be obsessed by targets.
Well, that's what Conor is saying, isn't it?
But we should.
Because
we
that's
should.
That, then that's where the conversation but, goes. And as you but, say, a studio like
but
mine,
my point,
apparently.
But my point is they are important because if you're going to fix something, you need to know how. If you're building something, you need to know how much of the materials you've got. And if you're not counting it as it's coming on site, you don't get the thing built. So I do think the decision not to have those annualised targets, particularly for social and affordable, is nothing to do with a focus on delivery. It's to save the embarrassment of quarter on quarter coming out and saying we've delivered nowhere close to what is objectively needed.
Okay, let's look at the bigger picture here. Killian, you've written a lot about infrastructure delays and serviced land shortages, and we had the minister in here saying, look, we've brought in four local authorities in front of us here and we've spoken to them about their failure to rezone adequate amount of land, and we're not going to be afraid to do more, and there's going to be perhaps incentives in there for local authorities who do reach various targets that set for them. Do you think they are trying to address some of those issues, or are we facing sort of more systemic obstacles than that?
Yeah, it's hard to know. They are bringing in, that is true, they're bringing in the local authorities about getting more land zoned and making sure that they have enough land zoned for what the housing targets that need to be done. But I'd agree, it does appear to be more like a it's systemic, as opposed to that they have an actual way out of it through this plan. They're talking about a task force that's going to deliver recommendations early next month. I think that's what a lot of my intention would be looking to, will be that report next month, as opposed to this. I've parsed this and read a lot of it in detail. The 108-page report they've produced today, it's really just a bit of a rundown of what's been done and in very broad brush stroke. So like again, as I said earlier, maybe I'm contradicting myself a bit here, they are talking, there is an emphasis on infrastructure in this plan and talking about infrastructure, but in how they're going to do that, other than just throwing money at some of it, and they say they're creating a billion fund to help, you know, deliver infrastructure in certain areas, you know, like some of that we'd be delivering the infrastructure in those areas if we should be already delivering the infrastructure that would be unlocked from that billion fund. So it's hard to know at this stage whether it is, I lean towards a systemic problems, as opposed to that this is going to actually solve the infrastructure problem. It seems to be a lot of very broad brushstroke talking about, we're going to solve infrastructure, but wait for this coming report. That's where the Sean O'Driscoll and led report is going to actually provide the recommendations. Then again, the Housing Commission was meant to deliver recommendations that were meant to be in this report. Mm-hmm. I don't see them. Yeah. I think a lot of Housing Commission members will be very frustrated reading this report today.
Yeah, and I did hear actually Michael Flynn from the Commission speaking on radio this morning saying some of his Housing Commission recommendations, there was 80 plus of them, are in this report, but not enough, and they're well over a year old. You've spoken, Conor Skehan, about overregulation, and the Minister, James Brown, was on with Pat Kenny this morning and he said regulation has tied us up in knots in this country. Is enough being done to remove some of that regulation and to do it in a safe way?
That's a very important qualifier, do it in a safe way. Most regulation is there for a reason, and all of the the world we live in recognises that the energy, the animal spirits of things like capitalism have got to be managed. You've got to safeguard people. So that's not a question. And so I'm not going to be quoted as being somebody saying get rid of planning or environmental legislation. But we've got to empower people to implement those better. So there is a big problem of risk averseness in many aspects of the public service. And that's where the issue is giving those people the authority, giving them the confidence to make quick decisions. And more importantly, give them permission to make mistakes that can be readily rectified. That's where a lot of the issue is. There's an incredible body of women and men out there working and planning environmental regulation, and they just need to be allowed to have their head.
Yeah, I mean, firstly, on the issue of zoning, this is, again, one of the very dishonest things the government has been saying in recent weeks. All of our local authorities have county development plans. The volume of land that is zoned in those was dictated by central government in advance of 2022. They were told how much land was required and to have a certain amount of headroom. It's taken James Brown until the end of July of this year before they gave the revised target to local authorities, and the local authorities are now doing what they've been asked to do, which
is revising. So do you think they've all been unfairly blamed? They haven't been too slow or too cautious?
Absolutely. In fact, on 25 occasions, Darragh O'Brien and then James Brown signed ministerial orders to dezone residential land across the state. Some of it for good reason. It was in the wrong place or on floodplains. But zoning is essentially, because this is where Connor is spot on, is a centralised function of the Department of Housing imposed on local authorities. And on regulation, because as somebody who has been an advocate for people affected by, for example, building defects, regulations play a really important role. For me, the problem is red tape. If a local authority or an approved housing body or a private building contractor wants to deliver social affordable homes, the volume of red tape imposed by the Department of Housing, the Department of Finance and Department of Expenditure and Reform is Byzantine. It is just crazy. Likewise, if you look at our planning system.
But they say they're addressing this. They're aware of this. That's what the minister said this morning.
Can I just say to you, right? I spent 2 years fighting these battles with Darragh O'Brien on the most controversial piece of planning legislation that was passed last October, and we were told that was going to solve all of these things. And even on planning, the two biggest problems in our planning system, in my opinion, are a lack of planners, qualified planners in our planning authorities and in a Comisiún Pleanála, which means planning permissions are still taking too long, particularly the smaller ones. And on the issue of judicial reviews, because again,
so is it lack of expertise or just lack of capacity?
First of all, we do have a lack of planners. There is also an issue around, because government wants us to move, rightly in my view, to much better placemaking and 3D early plan making. But that requires training of people. But also on judicial reviews. Right, because we were told Darragh O'Brien's plan bill was going to fix this. The real problem is we've only three judges in the Environmental and Planning panel of the High Court, and it takes them a huge amount of time to reach decisions and write them up.
So just to be clear, you don't think there's too many judicial reviews?
That's not the issue. Judicial reviews take far too long. If government just doubled the number of judges on that panel,
is that the answer here, Connor? Do you think
adequate resourcing and statutory timelines, you would reduce the number? There is also an issue around the number of judicial reviews, but people take JORs because there's conflicts in law. Owen Murphy created a whole pile of conflicts between central government rules and local government rules.
That's not always the case.
But the vast majority of those housing JORs were won because the rules were too complicated and there was too many conflicts. If you have a simple, single set of rules, there's less grounds to take JORs and they reduce. Right. We've seen that with residential developments. And then staff the courts, give them statutory timelines.
I think, Connor,
sure
you disagree with that point, do you?
Generally, say we promise coming in this very boring because he and I agree about so many of these things. But the JR business is not going to be solved by more judges. The JR system is going to be solved by having another layer of the court system that's allowed to fix very simple administrative errors overnight with the stroke of a pen. That'll take most of the volume out of the system. He's nodding his head now.
We're going to leave it there now before you all get on way anymore. Owen O'Brien, Conor Skehan and Cillian Woods, thanks so much for joining me.
The Hard Shoulder
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
¿Buscas las ofertas de Early Black Friday en Lowe's? ¡Estás justo a tiempo! Ahorra hasta 50% en electrodomésticos selectos y hasta 25% extra en combos de electrodomésticos selectos. ¿Estás pensando ya en poner luces navideñas? Aprovecha ahorros de hasta 50% en escaleras selectas. Precios de Black Friday sin las filas de Black Friday.
Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta el 11-19, selección varía por tienda, solo en tiendas selectas hasta agotar existencias. Detalles en Lowe's.com.